Welcome to the Lavo Show podcast. Conversations with outstanding human beings whose love has been inspired and transformed by Osho. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Hello and thanks for tuning in. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Today our guest is Madeva Sambara. Sambara took sannyas in 1976 and is a psychologist and holistic therapist. Sambara specializes in breath therapy, rebirthing, and meditation retreats. I'm so happy to have Sambara on the show and I hope you enjoy it. Sambara, welcome to the show. How are you?
Yes, thank you very much. I took sannyas in 77, the 16th of July 77.
Okay, perfect. It's almost the day almost I was born. Okay, so to start, tell us a little bit about how you came across Osho.
Well, I had a boyfriend and I studied yoga. And he went to India to study more about yoga. And then he came in contact with Osho. And then after a short time, he came back to Germany to sell everything he had to go back to Osho. So then I prepared my life to go back with him.
I see. Perfect. So did you know anything? Did you read any book? Did you do any meditation or you just trusted your boyfriend?
No, I studied psychology and religion comparativa. So I already meditated. I did Zen meditation since I was 16 years old. So I was very attracted to meditation, to Osho. And so it was very natural to go with my boyfriend to India. But we started to travel first because he said, like, let's go to see a little bit of India, because once we are in Pune, we are never going to leave anymore. And actually, this was what happened. We arrived there and then, you know, life is so intense. We didn't feel like traveling anymore.
I see. I guess you found what you were looking for.
Exactly.
So it seems you have been a seeker since a very young age. You just mentioned at 16 you were already doing meditation. And in your youth, you were exposed to Zen, Rosicrucian, Sufi, as well as modern therapeutic approaches which you studied. And then you met Osho. So what was about Osho that was different from the other masters you met or the other traditions you came across that pulled you so much that you dropped everything? And then you went to Pune and never left.
You know, actually, Osho was the first connection with a living master. So this is very different as when you get to know about looking for your inner being. So it was the first time to really be in front of somebody who is really connected and living and being consciousness as such. So it is such a powerful experience that everything we read doesn't have any comparison. So this is why it was very clear to be there and to soak into this presence of Osho and the place he created. And actually, this is how it started in the beginning also. When you came to Pune, you had a welcome darshan with Osho, at that time Bhagavan. And he was like just talking to you and asking how you are and what you came for. And then he gave you some groups to do. And so I actually, the first time when I met him, I didn't go in to take sannyas, just to have this welcome meeting. But, you know, after he gave me some groups, he said, and what about taking sannyas? I said, yes, I'm very interested, but I want to stay around and to get to know more and to listen more. And then he said, this is perfectly okay, but no, that you will miss something. Because when you know, you make your decision from your mind, and now you have the possibility to simply jump, to make a jump into the unknown, and to take a risk in this. So whenever you will make the decision after, it will be a decision from your mind. So what do you want to do? To make this jump into the unknown, or you want to think more? So, so of course, I went out and took sannyas at this moment, right? So this was the beginning of the love affair with Osho.
I mean, Osho was such a seducer. I don't know anyone right. who could resist him.
Right. When you're in front of him, and especially like looking in his eyes, it was just the experience of expansion and of being home and being being in the space of no question, being home, being in the ocean of existence, feeling welcomed, being at home. It was amazing.
You are so fortunate that you had a chance to meet Osho, a living master in the body. So talking to people who lived in Pune 1, I get the feeling that was a really unique place that probably never existed before in history and possibly will never be replicated. And not only for the presence of Osho, living master, but also for the creativity and experimentation in personal growth that was going on there. For personal transformation, Pune 1 was considered to be the best place on planet. So give us a sense of that, what was going on.
Well, I think there will be always incredible places of transformation in the world. But at that time, I feel it really was like one of the most incredible places, because you had the Eastern mysticism, you had a living master who included all different kind of paths and paths to come back to your own being. So it was very strong, because you had all modern therapies and you had traditional meditations. So, and then you had also people from all over the world, from really all over, especially from America and Europe, but also from the Asian countries. And so it was such a pressure cooker of different techniques and possibilities and people from all over the world being in this process together, and especially also living and being with people from all over the world. I found this was an incredible possibility to have a very natural way of learning and seeing that how you see the world and how you are interpreting the world is just one point of view. That it is not the reality as such when you work together with a Japanese person who doesn't see a problem, and you see a huge problem with your German conditioning, it becomes very obvious how the mind works and what is conditioning. So this was very, very nice, very powerful.
Yeah, it's beautiful what you are bringing up here, this idea of having people from different parts of the world with different conditionings working together in one place. It's a great opportunity to see those different angles of the mind and conditionings. So in your view and understanding from Osho's teachings, what's the relationship between therapy and meditation?
I think therapy is such a great entry to get to know what is your conditioning. And also with the different kinds of therapy, you can do loosening the whole crystallization and the walls we created around ourselves to protect our created ego structure. So with all these different kinds of therapy, which start either on the mental level or on the emotional level or on the physical level. It is as if you start with a hammer to make a sculpture. And so you make these first steps, which is in a way much more easier, is when you just start with a traditional meditation techniques. And maybe to jump a little bit years later, after I was already many years with Osho and working with therapy and other, with rebirthing and other therapies, I went to do this traditional Buddhist meditation retreat where you do silent meditation for 3 months. And in this retreat, there were many people who didn't do any therapy before. And when you compare to the work I did later on in Pune with people who had the basis of a lot of therapy before, it is so much easier to enter meditation when you work the heart structure of your conditioning and of the layers we create of tension in our being. So I think therapy is doing this first step in entering on the way to meditation. This is how I feel about therapy entering, preparing the path for meditation. And you know, Osho especially enjoyed to give the breathwork as one of the first groups, because it is such a simple technique and so powerful. Because what it is teaching is to connect you more with feeling. So it is this first pass, this first step from the mind, from thinking, to connect more with feeling again. And the moment we do this, then this heart structure we created around ourselves can start melting. Whatever we allow ourselves to feel, to be with, to be present with, can actually be melted again. Because simply when we put the torch of consciousness on our conditioning, it will melt the crystallization. So I think it is a very nature path to come from thinking to feeling, and then from feeling to being, where you connect with meditation. I mean, this happened for me personally, and I saw this in many of the people who came to do the work. When he listened so much to Osho, he was giving a talk each day for 2 to 4 hours. And in the time in Pune, it was like 1 month in Hindi and 1 month in English. He actually, in each discourse, he was pointing to meditation. But you know, when we are new on the journey, you are so full of wanting action, wanting experience. And so it is like very subtle. After coming back to your question in terms of therapy and meditation, I think therapy is making this journey back home possible, because it gets so subtle. And when we are so full of action and mind, it is impossible to go to these levels of being more subtle.
There are so many different points that I'd love to discuss. And in fact, I know that you are an expert in breath work, rebirthing, so definitely I want to hear more about that. But since you mentioned this 3-month meditation retreat, and I never heard of that before, and I understand that Osho invited you to introduce this 3-month Buddhist meditation retreat in Pune. So can you talk about that? Can you explain what it is?
Yes, that was actually funny for me, because it was a very strong experience for me. But I thought, wow, this is something you do once in your life and that's it. But then I received this invitation from Osho. It was a moment where he called out, to bring traditional techniques back to Pune. And then I told him that I just did this 3 months Buddhist meditation retreat. And he said, come and teach it here. So I was a little shocked, and because it is quite a responsibility, right? So I went to another Korean meditation teacher, a woman, Depop Sonim. She did the retreats in Hawaii. So to prepare myself a little bit more, and in the same year then, in the end of the year in 89, I went back to Pune to teach it there. It was in November 89. So I could check the schedule still with Osho, and we did some modification, like including the active meditation of Osho, especially Kundalini. And through this invitation, I suddenly was much more involved with silent meditation than I planned in my life. So I did this 3 months in Pune. And it was a special gift because 19th of January, Osho left his body. So we were there already in the 2.5 months in the 3 months meditation retreat. And so I think it was very strong for everybody, especially in the Kyolche retreat, because you are already in such a subtle space. And then seeing Osho leave and seeing that the body left, but the consciousness is always the same. And this is actually like the path of meditation. You come back to this. So seeing that you are never born and seeing that you never died.
I'm really curious to know more about the actual technique and tradition, because 3 months is a long kind of process. You know, even Mystic Cross, which is 3 weeks, is a big commitment, especially nowadays for people to take so much time off. So is the 3 month meditation retreat with Osho active meditation included still available anywhere? Do you still lead this?
Yes, but you really put the nail on the point, because like in our time, 3 months is a long time, right? So we did like what I wanted to say, because it was a special gift I felt I received from Osho. So I went back every year to Pune for quite some times to give Kyolche in Pune. But already the second time after Osho left, we did only 2 months, because it is such a big commitment, right? And in terms of Pune, I went back a few years and I did it. And then I trained people who were living more in Pune, because my life was already much more here in Brazil, and they continued. But I think in this format, it doesn't happen anymore in Pune. But because it was a present I felt I received from Osho, I continued it. And this year, it will be 30 years I'm doing this work here in Brazil. So, but, you know, in the first years, we did like a month or 3 weeks, then many years we did 3 weeks. Then after 10 years, I did a 40-day retreat here. But as you pointed out, this thing of having so much time, and also when you do it in a setting where you need to rent a place, it is also quite expensive. So nowadays we are doing 10 to 14 days retreats.
Wonderful. Now that's great to hear and makes a lot of sense. And I think that many people who go to the traditional Vipassana retreat, silent retreat, straight from an office or from a city, some people get disturbed. You know, it's too much of a shock if you just lock yourself in a room in silence. Whereas with the Osho active meditation, just to link it back to what you were saying about therapy, it can be a much easier way to release some tensions and help people to meditate easier. So that's great to hear that you still carry on with this beautiful gift from Osho. Wonderful. Thank you for that. So
You point to something where people, it's like an opinion that people have, that meditation is difficult, and it is an effort and so on. But this is only what happens in the first days. This is why a longer retreat is very useful, because like you need to shift the gears, you know, from being so much in an active life to go to just the observation, to go to observation of the mind, of the emotion, of the body. But then you come to a very delicious point. I mean, it feels actually a little funny and ridiculous to say that the most blissful moments in my life I experienced by just observing the breath, because you come to really such expanded spaces of consciousness. But what I want to say also, it is not that this is the end of the journey.
It's a great reminder what you just said, that it takes time for meditation. And one of the problems we have nowadays is that we are so in a rush, and all this society and the marketeers in the world, and even Amazon, is pushing everything now, buy now, getting it within 2 hours. And if you sign up to this course, you will get within one day this shift, and this will happen. And if you say to people that you have to go for 3 months meditation retreat, it's hard to get people to convince people. But it's a great reminder that the real stuff takes time. And I mean, with meditation, you can't expect to jump out of the office and switch your mind into a blissful state within a day or two with some special technique which you have to pay maybe, I don't know, $15,000 or whatever.
You know, Svan, it's yes and no, because of course our ground of being is always present, so you always can connect. This can be transmitted in a very short time, right? But like for you to just anchor in it, I think it is a process. And I think because of this, I also made the decision to move to a place in nature, because I think nature is always in a natural pulsation and gives you the support for this journey. Everything I say, it's true and not true, no? Because you can be in the middle of crazy Singapore and you connect with this ground of being, which is always with you, which is you. But for me, my journey took me here in this beautiful countryside, and actually also then I connected this with my work. I don't do only the strict meditation retreat, but to make it more soft and easy, to take people to really strong, beautiful nature places and connect with meditation. Because I think like nature is inviting us for this experience. And so for me, it is a blessing. I bought a little place in the mountains with a beautiful view. And I'm here for 30 years and I never get bored. It's like each day, it is so inviting, so relaxing, so supporting the pulsation of life, the feeling of life, to see that, to see beauty and silence, to be in it.
We are on the same wavelength, because that's pretty much our directions. Chetan and I were in London for many, many years, and then life started to get a little bit too frenetic. And then we decided to kind of slow down. We went to Singapore, but now it's the time where we even left that and we want to be more in nature. I think being in nature is very conducive to meditation. It's very helpful. So it's a great reminder. And I love what you said, that you've been there for 30 years and you don't get bored, because there is a bit of fear that moving from a city with all the stimuli, which you don't want, but then the mind is funny. Then you think, oh God, and I'm going to go in nature, and what do I do all day, you know? Okay, So I wanted to go back a little bit on the breath work, because I understand you are a specialist on breath work, which is such an important part in many spiritual traditions. Even Osho, of course, use a lot of breath work, for example, with the dynamic meditation, which starts with the 10 minutes of intense chaotic breathing. So have you ever spoken to Osho about breath work or rebirthing? And did you get any guidance on specifically breath work?
Well, let me start answering. Like, I actually have a connection, a strong connection to dynamic meditation in the beginning of my past. You know, when you study psychology in Germany, you need to do a work about a certain subject. And I did about the change of perception after Hatha Yoga, dynamic meditation, and bioenergetics. So like this, I started to get more involved with dynamic meditation. And I think the active meditations is a path like rebirthing, where with more active techniques, you really hammer your structure, your crystallization, your blocks. So I think it is a very powerful technique to come more to your inner reality. So I think for everybody who is beginning, it is really fantastic, like dynamic meditation, Kundalini, or the breathwork. I did the rebirthing training. I got invited because everybody who was going to do the training was leaving back to different countries in the world. But I was staying in Pune and they needed more people to work with rebirthing. So right after I did the training, I started to work doing 5, 6, 7 sessions per day or doing groups. And through this, I was learning actually by doing. I think the special gift in rebirthing is that people get the experience of the inner connection for the first time in life, but not with something from the outside, just by themselves, breathing and making this reconnection after you do all these steps of getting rid of a lot of frustration and resistance you have inside of yourself. So this inner connection to know it is, you don't need actually anything from the outside, no other stimuli. So most of the people who have this deep satisfaction of being only in experiences with sexuality or with other people or with childbirths or things where you have like aspects from the outside, but in the breath work it's just you and breathing, nothing else. And then suddenly you feel this inner connection and this inner bliss. I think this is so powerful for people that to get this insight. It has nothing to do with anything from the outside.
You run lots of programs and retreats, and you mentioned that you're based in Brazil. So I'm wondering if you have any websites or anywhere where people can reach you.
Yes, my website has my name, Samvara, and then Point Info. There is a lot of information what I do and about the programs. The last years, after working so much with going all over the place, the last 2 years, I'm focusing more on intensive therapy, individual therapy. People come for a week to my place and we work 4 hours in the morning, 4 hours in the afternoon. So a lot of transformation can happen in a very short time. Yeah, and for this, people can come from all over the place, and I were very welcomed.
Beautiful, and I'll link your website in the show notes of this episode. So we are heading towards the end, and I've got 3 final questions for you. What's your morning routine? How does your morning look like in the first couple of hours of your day?
Well, I'm an early bird. I wake up early, so very often I wake up at 4. Then I take care of my dogs and have a coffee, and then I sit for meditation, and then I go for a walk with the dogs. And then I, because the place here is big, I have somebody who's helping to take care. So the person comes at 6:30. And then it's 4 hours of going into activities here. So this is normally the morning here.
The second question is, what's your favorite meditation and why?
Oh, my favorite meditation is silent meditation. And just sitting, being, listening, just this.
So the last question is, you lead the OSHA experiment. You were one of the pioneers in this movement of creating the new man, Zorba the Buddha. What does it mean to you personally to be with OSHA today in 2020?
Wow, it is not also the man, the body. It is like being grateful every day for pointing home. So it is the everyday experience of being. So it is an ongoing process. I was very lucky in my life that I met many beautiful people pointing home. But for me, Osho always was the main pointer. And so it is an ongoing experience of each moment.
Okay, that's beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Sambara. Sounds like the place you're living in is absolutely wonderful, and I know Bhaskar is your neighbor, and many other sannyasins live in Alto Paraiso area. So definitely, whoever is listening, if they want to go to Brazil, there are lots of sannyasins, lots going on, and I wish myself one day to have an opportunity to come and visit you there.
You're most welcome, you and Chatna. And I was very delighted to see your work and the way you are pointing in your way home and give enthusiasm to a lot of people. It's very beautiful.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And it's great to hear your enthusiasm after so many years of work and meditation. And you sound as young as a teenager, energetically. So, well, thank you so much. It's been a great pleasure connecting with you, and send you lots of love.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Lavo Show podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, you can show your appreciation by leaving a review on iTunes. Visit lavoshow.com for new episodes, blogs,
and much more.